All right, welcome to the weekend. I am Pia Muhlenbeck. It is Friday evening and this is Wine Time.
We're doing it well.
We're doing it.
The intro is slick.
Second ever podcast.
And you haven't messed it up.
Yes. So it was a super, super hot day today. So Kane and I have poured ourselves a glass of a Pinot Gris. It's actually a really nice fresh white wine. It's called Elephant in the Room. And I really like it. Do you like it?
The temperature doesn't matter. This is called Wine Time. We would have drunk wine regardless.
I know, but on a hot day, I always want like a really clear, crisp, white.
I forgot you're a big wine nerd. If you don't know, Pia is legitimately a really knowledgeable person on wine because she used to do, well, a couple of years ago, she was an ambassador for GH Mum.
Yeah.
She knows her stuff.
Well, I don't actually drink wine that much other than now on a regular basis, but...
On a regular basis?
Well, now that we have this podcast.
Oh, I see. I don't drink wine. I mean, until now.
No, but I have actually been like taught a fair bit about it because of a job back in the day. And this was actually a really funny story because we had this briefing for the day where we had to go and do this huge wine tasting and preparation for an event. And basically I was there to learn all about the different wines. It was actually champagnes. And I think they gave us like 10 or 11 glasses of champagne to
can
try.
I jump in there? It wasn't full glasses. This was a work event and we were tasting it.
Yes. But then we had scheduled a meeting for immediately afterwards.
Yeah, that never transpired.
That did not go well, that meeting.
No, that was crazy. So, I mean, we had a great week. This is episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast has been really well received. Everyone, we were worried actually, like we don't know if this is going to be good or not, but everyone has sent us great messages.
I know.
And I'm pumped. I'm really excited for this. I think this is cool.
Yes.
So now you can listen to the podcast in car, on your iPhone or on your Android. So I think we've covered all bases now. I think we're on like 12 different platforms. So I think we're good.
Kane went and spent 45 minutes just going and sitting in our car to listen to our own podcast.
Got to make sure the EQ's good. I'm a bit of an audiophile.
I came home. I was like, babe, where are you? He's like, I'm just in the car.
It was such a weird conversation. I was like, why?
Yeah, I think it's great. It's giving us a nice little platform to, you know, talk a little bit more in depth about different topics. And we have had some really interesting things that have happened this week.
Aliens.
Oh my goodness, you guys, everybody came back wanting conspiracy theories.
I've screenshotted, I'm not even joking yet. I'll show you on my phone. I've got 8 pages of different conspiracy theories that people want us to research. Now, I must say, once again, this is not going to become a conspiracy theory website, but I have spent all week researching these conspiracy theories and I think I'm going to have to start my own podcast.
No, I can't believe this. It's like everybody just wants to be like spooked out or something like that.
I've been researching Bohemian Grove. I've been researching what Beyonce does with the Illuminati, the MH370 flight. It's crazy.
Grace called me today. Grace is our manager. And she's like, so what's on the agenda for today? The moon landing? She's going to have to get her like a damage limitation hat on because of all the things that we're going to say throughout this podcast.
So I want to say hello to everyone in the US. We've got a large chunk of people in the US and Australia and the UK. And then also Guten Tag to everyone in Germany. Bonjour to everyone in France. And sorry to everyone in Canada. They are our main countries.
I like that a lot. And you know what was cool? On Saturday, we had an event with Elle Magazine. And we were there. I was on a panel. Kane actually came along and he was the only man in like a room of 400 women.
I felt really, it was daunting. Hey.
Really? I feel like you like seem like you're in your element when you're there.
Oh, I mean, I'm not going to turn down the opportunity to be in a room full of women, but also, that sounded weird, didn't it? But also like it is kind of strange. Anyway, yeah, Pia was doing a panel discussion with Elle Magazine. That's what you were coming to.
Yeah. And we actually saw some people there who listened to the previous episode of the podcast and they were like, guys, we rated you 5 stars.
Where's our hug?
Yeah.
And it took me really unawares because I thought nobody's actually going to come and ask for hugs.
And it's happening.
Like, yeah, it's crazy. Like 5 stars, you get a hug. 4 stars, you get a handshake. 3 stars, you get a high five. And 2 stars, you get a punch in the face. That's what we're doing.
What's 1 star? That's sinister. Yeah.
Currently we're sitting on 5 stars straight. So this is good.
So you haven't had to punch anyone in the face yet.
Thankfully, no.
But you are boxing regularly, so you could.
I am. I am currently nursing, I think, 1 or 2 fractured fingers.
Great.
Because of my boxing practice.
That's what you want your creative director and video editor to have. Broken fingers.
Do you remember, I actually wanted to ask you this. Do you remember last week, early on in the podcast, we said that the podcast is called Wine Time and the dream scenario is that a wine brand or a winery or an alcohol brand,
yes,
they approach us and say, hey, do you want some wine?
Yes.
Well, guess what? This sounds like we've planned it and we haven't. I don't even know what the brand is yet because Grace hasn't told me.
Yeah.
But today Grace got an email saying, hey, what do Kane and Pia drink, red or white?
Oh, you're kidding.
So we've got something coming.
Amazing. What else do we want? We should call the podcast a different thing every week.
Let's call it Diamond Time.
Diamond Time. That's a good idea.
And every week we just review the latest diamonds that come through the door.
I love that.
Yeah, if this podcast takes a huge downturn next week, that'll be why, because we've had a delivery of wine.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, a lot's happened since last week. First thing, we tried ASMR this week, which is a weird thing.
Well, we didn't do it. We listened to
it. Yeah, like we partook in it. We put our headphones on and listened.
Yeah, we did. And I always actually thought it was something like sexual. So I just never clicked on those videos. But I think it's just that sensation where you get like tingles because of a particular sound and things like that.
So I get that tingle. I don't know if it's because I'm an only child, but if I own something, let's say a PlayStation, if I give you the controller to my PlayStation and someone else who's not me uses it, I get this strange tingle, right?
Yeah.
In between where my skull meets my spine.
Yeah.
It's weird tingle. It's like someone's just doing this to the back of your head.
Yeah.
And it goes down your back. And it's a really nice feeling.
It's like that egg cracking on your head feeling.
Exactly. And I didn't realize that's actually what ASMR is. So you can get ASMR for, you know, someone doing this to a glass of wine.
Yeah.
That, and it's not a sexual thing. It's just a kind of a thing. It's a nice sensation. Also, something happened this week that Pia has not stopped talking about. The Star Wars trailer came out.
Well, that's when you got the most tingles I've ever seen. Kane literally watched the trailer and he's like, oh, I've got goosies. And his entire arms were covered in goosebumps.
I don't call them goosies, by the way. It's goosebumps. I'm a man's man.
Sorry, I made it more endearing for everyone. But he got goosebumps. And then as soon as like, was it Art? No.
C-3PO, I think. I don't want to give away spoilers, but if you've seen the trailer, I think everybody knows that maybe C-3PO dies.
He says something like, I just want to have one last look at my friends.
Oh, don't say that. It's going to get me sad again.
Oh my gosh, look at his voice cracking. And then he literally started tearing up watching this trailer.
Nah, if you watch my Instagram stories, I cried.
Yeah,
my,
he cried.
There were tears running down my face.
Big time.
Star Wars is a big thing for me. Star Wars for me is like Harry Potter for you.
Yeah, I know.
That's why. I think if Harry Potter died in any episode, or what was his name?
Dumbledore died.
When Dumbledore died, I'm pretty certain you cried.
It's been like enough years for me to be able to say that, right? There's no one that's like, oh, spoiled it for me.
No spoiler alert. There's been no spoiler alerts yet.
Oh my goodness. When I read that book, I was a lot younger, right? Because I was reading the Harry Potter books when I was like 11 years old.
Yeah.
And when I read that book and Dumbledore died, I think I cried for like several days.
So you got to remember, Star Wars is literally in every aspect of my life now and also as a child.
How?
Well, now I love it. And
how is it in every aspect of your life?
I mean, I have a lightsaber by my desk. That's
true.
I own a BB-8, your droid.
Kane made me dress up as Princess Leia one time.
My car is a bit like an X-Wing fighter. Like, I'm making life choices that reflect my childhood dreams.
Your bicycle helmet looks exactly like a stormtrooper.
It's not a stormtrooper, but it's a white Rurok crash helmet. It's designed for skiing. It contains a little beacon, so if you hit your head on something, it will like GPS to the police, and that's what I use for skateboarding.
You honestly don't even need to get a Halloween costume. You could just put that on and you're done.
See, this is the problem we have. We're not sure what to do for Halloween. I want to go with something Star Wars. Pia wants to go with something Harry Potter.
Maybe we should have a battle.
I would win.
I have magic.
The Force is strong with me. Anyway, we're talking about way too much about Star Wars and your little garbage movie as well.
In other breaking news,
yes,
Jennifer Aniston has joined Instagram.
That actually blew my mind. I think she broke Instagram.
I know.
That's
I know.
Weird.
How many followers has she got now?
Let me just have a look. Because when I saw she joined, she was on something like 2.2 million. Then I went to the gym. And when I left the gym, she was on 3 million. I was like, wow, that's going really well for
us. That's our entire career gone in like 45 minutes.
We should give up, hey?
I need more wine.
Literally 4 days later, she's on 15.9 million followers.
Oh my goodness.
But I think I know why she did well.
Because she's on Friends and everybody loves Jennifer Aniston?
I mean, there was a little bit of controversy around that picture as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
If anyone's not seen it, Jennifer Aniston posted the picture with Phoebe, Monica.
Courtney.
No, I'm going to go with the friends.
Oh, you're going to go, okay.
Because I don't know the guy's name. Phoebe, Courtney, Monica, whatever.
Ross.
And the other three. Let's forget it.
And the cast of friends.
In the background of the shot, right next to Matthew Perry's head, is what looks like an iPhone with a very strange substance on it.
Yes.
Don't know what it is. And I mean, it might just be talcum powder, who knows? But I do think that she specifically chose that picture, or they set it up for that so that it got a little bit more controversy. So people were like, what's that on the phone?
So you think this was planned?
I don't think these people are that stupid. They've been media trained for 30 years.
Babe, she has 500,000 comments.
And a lot of them are about what's on the phone. Let me tell you that. I went through that comment section. But I mean, it might not be. It might just be an iPhone case with a funny powdery pattern on it. But who knows? Who knows?
But like, if they weren't intentionally trying to include that, what is the framing of this photo? I know. Is everybody leaning into it in that direction?
It's so weird, hey. I feel like it's a photo probably from like a few years ago as well, because the phone they've used to take that picture looks like it's taken on a BlackBerry.
Ah, this has got to be a publicity stunt.
I think so, yeah.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, kind of, hey. It must be.
I'm not surprised anymore with like what I think people do to do like publicity stuff.
Oh, I know. Whenever I see people that we specifically know in the industry as well, and suddenly there's these like terrible, you know, exposés in the newspaper about them, I do kind of think, I know you.
Yeah.
And I know how your brain works. And that's genius.
We need drama, babe.
I'm
we
like,
need
damn
some
it,
drama.
Why didn't I think of that?
It's like even the Kim Kardashian kimono thing.
I guarantee it was always going to be called Skims.
Right. How could she not have known that that would be a huge problem?
I reckon that was literally the plan. You know, sometimes when we come up with like silly, you know, 11 o'clock in the night business ideas.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wouldn't it be funny if we launched it like this?
Yeah.
And I tell you the most ridiculous thing that I know is going to offend everybody.
Yes. But get worldwide publicity.
At that point, Christiana goes, great idea. Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah. She's not like me, and I'm like, babe, be realistic.
Kim is very PG-13 in everything that she does. It's good, it's great quality, but also it does mean that if we ever have any ideas for anything, she always wants to take the lovely route, which I guess is a good thing.
I don't want my life filled with drama. I want my life filled with like positivity, and that's what I want to put out there too. There's a difference, right?
No, like, I do.
You have a massive impact on the people that you're posting to and that see your content. And for me, I think keep it fun. Keep it light.
I think you're right. Going back to Jennifer Aniston, this is an interesting thing for her.
Yeah.
Because I think she might be 50, might be 51. I'm not sure. Hold on a minute. Let me just ask my little assistant.
He's asking his phone. We don't have a little assistant here right now. It's Friday evening.
I thought Siri was going to talk to me. It just returned me a Google page. She was born in 69, which would make her 50. I was right. She's 50, 51.
Yeah.
Now, someone in that age bracket, the only negativity she would have ever faced through most of her career would have been from journalists.
Yeah, and trash mags, like.
Okay, when I say journalists, I mean magazines that kind of say, oh my goodness, look, Jennifer Aniston looks fat on a beach, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, or Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, or, oh, this is the reason why Jen's. I always see these ones saying, Jennifer looks sad. It's like, no, she's just got, that's just her face. Like, I don't think she's still pining after Brad Pitt.
Yeah, but honestly, the journos that write for these kind of, you know, gossip mags and trash mags and all that, they're just trying to get some shock factor out
Absolutely.
There. And you see their motive.
Yeah.
You know, their motive is just to get someone to pick up the magazine and buy it because they're so shocked by the story.
But that's the game.
So that's something that she probably doesn't take seriously at all. But it's not the vast majority of the public.
It does bring that back question. Like, she's facing social media as a new person. That's going to potentially impact her a little bit and make her kind of go, wow, this is crazy.
I think it's going to be something new for her to tackle, but I don't think it's going to be something that, you know, is a big problem for her, because I think she's pretty universally loved. But I do think it's a big problem for the young generation who are coming up and feeling like they're personally validated by, you know, a number on an app, by how many likes they get, by how many comments they get that are positive or negative and things like that. It's a whole different social dynamic. And I think you and I are pretty lucky because we are like a little bit older in terms of what, you know, a social media creator kind of is. And we had careers before this and actually lived lives before this. So I think we feel very comfortable in our own skin.
Well, and we've got each other.
Exactly. And we've got each other. Like, we have someone to talk to and everything. So if there is someone being negative towards us on social media, we kind of, I think we have like a bit of a degree of separation with that rather than feeling like that's a really personal attack on us.
Well, also Pia has a very cut and dry way to deal with trolls.
Yes.
Which is what? Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, I actually talked about this again at the event on Saturday because that's a question that comes up quite a lot. And first of all, I find it absolutely insane at how some people approach social media, how they're just these warriors that hide behind keyboards and they will say things to you that they would never say to you in person.
No, that's right.
Right? And it's unwarranted. Of course, if there's like criticism that's constructive and things like that, maybe take it on board, maybe have a think about it and maybe respond. But if somebody is coming to you with just completely uninvited and unnecessary hate, the way that I see it is that your little social media space, your page, you know, your wall, whatever it is kind of like your home. And you're posting your own content on there and you're creatively expressing yourself on there and you're inviting people into your home to come and see that, what you've created. And now if people come into your home and suddenly talk to you in an completely rude way, there is no need for you to invite them back.
No, or actually you would kick them out immediately.
You would kick them out, absolutely. And so the way that I deal with it, if I ever have somebody that talks to me, you know, in a horrible way or in a rude way, I just immediately block and delete.
What that does, when you do delete and block someone, it just prevents any roll-on effect. Whereas if you leave that hate up there and people start contributing to it, you end up with threads and threads and threads of people that are saying crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And the hate actually grows.
Well, I see this a lot, right? When you think about it, all that they want, if they're leaving negative comments on your page, is a response.
Correct.
From you. They're just trying to antagonize and they're trying to get a response. And I feel like I see a lot of people who do this, they, you know, are full-time creators or whatnot, and they leave responses and they might come back with something really witty that they think is going to shut this person down.
Yeah.
But it just kind of, it creates another response and another response, and it breeds this completely negative comment section that just is quite toxic.
Yeah, 100%.
And if you just don't respond, you either leave the comment there or and just ignore it, and first of all, then they'll just get bored and move on.
Yep.
Or if you delete and block it, if it's really offensive to you, you delete and block it, they just move on and you end up responding to the people that are leaving positive things, supportive things, encouraging things, and you end up with a comment section and a community that you've built that's actually a really loving and supportive environment.
Well, I think that's the most important thing, what you just said there, the C word, community.
Yeah.
It's not a comment section. I know it's called the comment section.
Yeah.
But that is your community. That's exactly. My community. Like I've now got used to the people that regularly leave comments on my Instagram page.
Mm.
And I may not have met some of them, but they're my friends now. And yes. I think the same for you. The comments that you reply to, you see these people. Like, it was so crazy. We were at the ASUS event the other week.
Yeah.
And this girl came out to me called Bethany. And you were there as well. And we started talking and she told me she was a photographer. And I was like, oh, hang on. And I kind of said her full name. I went, are you so-and-so? And I said her username.
Mm.
She was like, yes. I was like, oh my goodness, I knew it was you.
Yeah.
And that's so crazy because we've now built this community of nice, kind, like-minded individuals who all kind of share the same ethos.
Honestly, your time is too short and too precious to sit there arguing with someone on the other end of the world who's just unnecessarily being
rude.
Exactly.
And also someone you're never going to meet.
Exactly. And I think people sometimes are quite shocked when I tell them that, like, I just ignore it or I block and delete and I just deal with it like that because it's pretty cutthroat. But what I think is important for people to remember, especially if you're dealing with cyberbullying and stuff, is you need to take back the control.
Absolutely.
You're in control of your own social media presence. You don't need to be there, first of all, if you don't want to be there. If it's a negative space for you, turn it off entirely.
Looking at a show like, what's it called? In the UK, Love Island.
Mm.
I think one or two people from the show have taken their own lives because of the bullying on social media.
Yeah.
Now that is insane.
Do you know what happened this week?
What's that?
So there was a case that happened this week in New South Wales where...
New South Wales in Australia, by the way.
New South Wales in Australia, yes. And what was her name? Her name was Ms. Prince.
Pardon?
Her name was her surname was Prince. I read the news article.
Okay, it doesn't matter what her name is.
Right, and she sued Channel 7 because they portrayed her as a villain on a reality show.
I've always wanted to be a villain on a reality show. That sounds brilliant.
I've never gone on a reality show because I'm like, what if they make me a villain?
No, trust me. Pia's got asked to go on a few shows in the past and she's turned them down because I know how emotional she is. And under the smallest amount of pressure, she cries. And I just know that, like, if Gordon Ramsay or something shouted at your face, you'd cry. And I'd be sitting there watching going, oh, my goodness, this is so embarrassing. She's crying on national TV.
I know. I wouldn't be the villain. I'd be, like, the wimp. So this is really interesting because it's actually set a precedent in the legal structure here where an individual has been able to say, listen, this reality TV show has portrayed me in a way that I wasn't actually behaving. So they cut out all the good things that she said in all the interviews and only used all of the negative comments that she used.
That sounds like the way I edit your vlogs.
But how's this? That's what they showed to the other contestants. All the negative things she said about the, I think it was like a house, like a renovation show. So she said like, oh, I really like this and I really like that. Not so hot on this. And they cut everything out positive that she said and only made a compilation of all the negative things, like all the criticisms that she had and showed that to all of the other contestants.
Yeah, you've got to see it in context, right?
So then they immediately made her a villain in all of the other contestants' eyes and isolated her and her teammate from all the other contestants, from like all of the socializing and everything.
So what show was she on?
I think it was called House Rules. It's like a renovation show here in
Australia. Oh, so it wasn't like a Love Island show.
No, it's like a renovation show where like teams compete in renovating rooms and then at the end of every week they have to be like, oh, this is the best bathroom. And at the end they have one of them wins the best house.
Yeah, right. Got it.
I haven't actually watched it, but I read this article today because it's really interesting because basically what they found is that she was in fact an employee of the TV network.
Well, I think historically that's where the TV networks have been pretty smart because in that contract you're basically a contractor or a freelancer.
Yes.
So you're not an employee, so you don't have kind of employee rights.
Exactly. Where obviously workplace bullying and harassment is something that you can sue your employer for. So this judge has found that she was actually an employee and that none of the production would have occurred without all of the contestants. So these people were integral to the production of the TV show, not just contractors, especially because they're not even qualified to be contractors. They're not professional designers or professional builders or anything like that. Wow. They're employees of the show.
So competition entrants on a show now have rights, which is the way it should have been a long time ago.
But that's crazy because she's now being awarded compensation because after coming out of the show, she has now very much struggled to find work.
100%.
She gets harassed in public because people, in their eyes, everyone who recognizes her thinks she's a horrible person.
Yep.
She also hasn't been able to get a job interview because they've seen this and gone, you know what, we don't want this lady to work in our company. So she's unable to find work now.
Well, that's interesting. I don't want everyone to think that I watched Love Island because I don't. I've literally watched 1.5 episodes.
I think this is like the third time you've brought it up now.
No, only because I watched the episode, I think, on Sunday and I was like, wow, this is crazy. And I don't know if people coming out of Love Island are necessarily going to find it that easy to find employment at a regular office afterwards.
No, and going on reality TV is such a gamble, isn't it? Because first of all, you don't know how they're going to portray you.
Yep.
You don't know if they're just going to take all these sound bites of you and turn you into an airhead or a villain or, you know, somebody who's really into yourself or anything like that. You have absolutely zero control. And I think you pretty much sign contracts that are like, you know, I'll let you do whatever you want with my name, face and reputation.
Oh, I think you sign your life away, to be honest.
And then also in Australia, it's kind of like at the end of every season, one or two people will go on to be like very much remembered and build a career out of it in entertainment. Mm. And then everybody else has to go back to their job.
Well, we own a place in a different state in Australia. And we went there the other day. And the receptionist is from the last season of Love Island.
Yeah.
She's gone back to her old job. Yeah. Now, I don't care. I'll say hi, whatever. But that's a bit tough. That's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah. We actually listened to a podcast the other day with H3H3 and Casey Neistat.
Yep.
And what I thought was so interesting was when somebody blows up on social media or if somebody blows up because of something like a reality show, but they're not actually at the point where they're making enough money to be like not working in a job anymore. It's such an odd situation because you might have a job at Starbucks or something, but be really, really well known on social media. That's so right. People keep coming in and saying like, hi, how are you? I follow you on social media, and you're literally making their latte.
But didn't Ethan from H383, didn't he work in Starbucks?
No, I think they were talking about a girl who kind of spoke odd transition where, you know, everybody thinks just because you're well known that you're immediately making a lot of money.
But this is the point. This is exactly the point I'm trying to make. You might find a creator on 100,000 followers. If you don't know, a creator on 100,000 followers is called a micro-influencer. I don't think it's a micro-influencer because that's an amazing audience to have.
Mm.
But there are also creators out there with 20, 30, 40 million subs. So in the grand scheme of things, 100,000 is, inverted commas, a micro-influencer or not a massive one. Now, I know a lot of people. In fact, I know influencers on way less than 100,000 followers who are making really, really good money because they keep themselves, you know, of a certain standard. They don't do crazy lewd things on the internet and they're not demonetized. And
probably very brand friendly.
Very brand friendly. This is exactly it. Whereas you look at other influencers who I don't want to name, but people that are on like 5, 6, 7 million subscribers, and they're complaining about being broke because they curse and swear, they have naked people in their videos, they do crazy stuff online. And whilst it's still very fun to watch, no brand wants to work with them.
Yeah.
And this is the issue that I think a lot of creators fall into. They see the reality TV as a hot step.
Yeah.
To get them from 50,000 followers to 500,000 followers. But actually, yeah, you might get the followers, but you've then got the reputation. A lot of your core brands are going to stay well away from you. And that's the issue I think a lot of people are having. You know, followers don't actually equate to
A business,
exactly. So, yeah, it's very tough. Have you seen the TV show Unreal?
Yes, remember we watched it for ages.
Did I watch it with you?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I watched it on my own. It's great.
Yeah, oh my gosh, it is so interesting. And I think actually, because we have a few friends who come from a background of, you know, reality TV, it is pretty accurate. Well, if you haven't seen the show Unreal, basically it's a show, is it on Netflix or what's it on? Stan or something?
iTunes or something. iTunes. If you've got an Apple TV, just search for Unreal.
It is pretty interesting because it kind of shows this twisted world where the producers are like kind of mentally, you know.
They're playing games.
Playing games with these contestants to either lure them into getting more screen time or threatening them with, you know, portraying them in the wrong way. And the amount of control that they have over these people because they're obviously just really excited to be on a show is absolutely crazy, and it's a really, really cool show. And honestly, I find it mind-boggling that things like that exist.
I think the show was written or directed, or the screenplay was written by someone that worked on season one of The Bachelor in the USA.
Yeah,
something in my mind. I might not be 100% accurate with that, but that's what I kind of feel it was based on or came from.
Yeah,
but it makes sense, right? Like, I hate to admit it, but if I had a TV show, I would, and it was, you know, full of reality cast members, I would definitely try and manipulate it so that it was better viewing. Like,
would you?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. When stuff goes wrong in the vlog, I love it.
Yeah, that's true.
If something happens,
yeah,
that's negative, and if there's a chance that you're going to cry on camera, I'm
Kane
like,
Kane just gets the camera out immediately. How insensitive is that for a husband? Can you even? But it's so weird because that has turned our attitude into a really weirdly positive spin, because now when things go terribly wrong while we're vlogging, we're like, ooh, what an interesting challenge that we have to work with now.
I'm always searching for that act too.
I wonder what the climax of this vlog is going to be.
I don't think that's a good way to live a relationship though. I probably should stop that. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, we've talked about reality TV way too much.
That's true.
And especially seeing as we've literally watched 1.5 episodes of reality TV this year.
Yeah, and I got to admit, they are pretty addictive. Like, there is some formula there that sucks you into
it. For sure.
So I don't want to like can it. They know what they're doing from an entertainment perspective. But I just wonder about the collateral damage of all the contestants that come out.
Well, that's it. That's it, isn't it?
So I think that Instagram and Facebook are actually acutely aware of the impact that these platforms can have on people's mental health.
Oh.
And one of the things that they've done recently is they're trialing it at the moment, but they've actually removed likes in Australia. So in Australia, and I think about 8 other countries right now, you cannot see Instagram likes at all. So that metric is just completely gone. You can still see comments, but you can't see that number. And the ethos behind it for them is that they want to take away the pressure that people are feeling to just post things that they know will engage well and go back to posting things that they just love. Yeah, exactly. If it's a photo of your, you know, foot or your burrito or whatever it is, if you really love it, you can upload it, you know?
See, I have an issue with this.
Right.
I really do. Because I feel that that sounds like it's come from a PR firm. I'm sorry. It sounds like that's Instagram's PR saying, guys, people's mental health is suffering.
Yeah.
We're removing likes. If that was true, they would genuinely remove likes. They haven't.
And yeah, if likes. You look at it on a browser, you can still see the likes. Yeah,
and I can
yeah.
see everyone's. Like, yeah. there's no real hidden curtain anymore.
And you can still see your own likes. So we can still see, you know, I can still see my own insights. I can still see what's engaging well and what's not. But to the public, that's hidden.
But you know what does influence people?
What?
With likes,
what?
Sales. If I see you holding that bottle of wine, mm-hmm. there's a bottle of wine in front of us, by the way, and it's got 5 likes, cool, whatever. If I see you holding that bottle of wine going, hey, this wine is the best, and it's got 50,000 likes, I'm definitely more inclined to buy it. So it's the same reason why Apple originally had people lined up down their street of each Apple store when the iPhone came out. Now, there's a lot of speculation that those people were actually paid actors because that encouraged the hype that then made people like me go and stand in line because I'm like, oh my goodness, if 100 other people are buying this iPhone, it must be good, so I should get in line. Yeah. And that's why, literally, I stood in line from 3 o'clock in the morning when the iPhone first came out because I wanted to be the first person because so did these people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening in a digital world with Instagram right now.
Yeah.
Remove those likes and suddenly you don't know what's cool and what's not. Here's the thing, right? Instagram is also an ad platform. So is Facebook.
Yeah.
If I see an influencer advertising something and it's got 100,000 likes on a product, I am inclined in the same way when I see a lot of people down the street at the Apple store to make that purchase because it's validation by numbers.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that potentially is a good item. If that person says it's good and 100,000 people are hitting like as well, kind of, you know, inverted commas, approving that product, maybe I should buy it. Now, get this. This is where my little – talk about conspiracy theories. This is my conspiracy theory, right? The Instagram influencer bubble next year is predicted to be worth $20 billion.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bubble. I think it's a legit industry now.
Oh, 100%. I'm calling it that.
Yeah.
That is $20 billion. That is going straight from a brand into the influencer's pocket, not going via Instagram or Facebook.
Yes.
If you remove the likes, you definitely inhibit the influencer business a little bit, which then means brands that are not so savvy with Instagram marketing and working with influencers are going to be more likely inclined to go straight to the ad platform, the Facebook ad network, and go, you know what? We'll just put our money there.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, here's the thing. This is where it gets very interesting. To advertise to an audience your size on the Facebook ad platform, I've got it in front of me on my phone, it's $30,000.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
And that doesn't guarantee hitting 2 million people.
How many does that guarantee?
Anywhere between 210,000
right.
and 2 million.
Okay, so probably not 2 million.
I would assume probably not.
Yeah.
But it does make sense. Instagram is a business. They've got to keep their staff going. And let me tell you, to run a network like Instagram, serving photos and videos at the fastest possible app, it has to be the fastest possible app so you've got the best servers, the best internet connections. It really costs a lot of money. And then for an Instagrammer, the bigger the Instagrammer, the more you actually cost Instagram as a business.
In data.
Like when Lele Pons uploads a video and she suddenly gets 17 million views in a day and Instagram haven't made any money from that, that's cost Instagram.
But she might have made money by a brand sponsoring her directly and completely circumnavigating the, you know.
Exactly. So my little theory, and I might be wrong, and I love Instagram, and I actually have lots of friends that work at Instagram, but my theory is that potentially nobbling the likes is to kind of nobble the influencer industry.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That could be a thing. I don't know.
When I think about it though, at the end of the day, there are so many people who are making money as creators and influencers and basically have created an asset rent-free.
Absolutely.
You know, we're using this platform. We don't pay Instagram for it.
No.
But by building up a bit of an audience, we've created a business out of it, and we're not paying them any rent. We're not paying them any usage fees.
I would also like to interject that I would happily pay a rent to Instagram.
Yeah.
I think every creator should. If you work on Instagram and you sell stuff on Instagram as a platform, for sure,
yeah,
take a cut.
Mm.
Like, that would be a great way that we could all live in this beautiful symbiosis where we're all, you know, running beautifully together.
Yeah.
I think the bigger issue is that when you spend, let's say we want to advertise to an audience your size, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to cost $30,000 on the Facebook ad platform.
Right.
That $30,000 to advertise to 2 million people, you've still then got to pay the photographer, the creator, the model, the video editor, all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're marketing to a cold audience who might may or may not even care about the product.
Yeah.
That's expensive.
Absolutely.
And then you go to a creator and you try and get a 2 million audience with a creator, and they'll do everything. Like, creators are actually jack of all trades. Actually, they're masters of all trades in most instances, right?
Yeah.
And most times they'll do the product for a lot less than $30,000. And they're hitting a warm audience.
That's right.
I understand why Instagram is scared of influencers.
Well, they're hitting an audience that actually know that they like their style.
Correct.
Or they resonate with, you know, they're trusted in, yeah, some way. They've like created a connection. And then if you follow a creator that you genuinely trust and they recommend a product to you, I think you'd be much more inclined to take that recommendation on board than just by seeing a sponsored ad.
Well, you know, the really crazy thing about you, specifically you, right?
Right.
When we go out, we live in Sydney. So, and I think everyone knows that we don't hide that. And when we go out, and people come up to Pia and go, oh my goodness, hi, I follow you on Instagram. They all, and I mean this with absolute respect to all of the Pika crew, they all have a similar style.
Yeah? Yeah.
So people that are gravitating to you as someone on Instagram,
mm,
all dress in this kind of cool, glam, funky way. I can't describe it. I'm a guy. I don't know fashion. But like, it's so weird because I feel like you all look like you could be from the same extended family. I'm a big nerd, if anyone hadn't quite gathered. You look at the people that I follow on YouTube in my personal account,
mm,
it's MKBHD, it's Austin, it's, you know, Mr. Who's the Boss, it's your average consumer. It's all of these kind of similar nerd burgers to me.
Mm.
And I love that.
Yeah.
And honestly, if Marques Brownlee says this is the best wallet you should buy, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
Whereas if I saw an ad saying this is the best wallet you should buy, I'm just ignoring the ad.
Yeah, exactly. You're tuning it out, right?
That is the real value of an influencer.
Absolutely.
It's the connections you make with like-minded people. And that is the most powerful thing on the internet right now.
It's authenticity.
100%.
Yeah. But Instagram are a business and they need to figure out how to stay in the green as well. So I totally get it. But what I think will happen is that if likes are gone for good and it's not just a trial thing, but they're just gone completely off the platform,
mm,
engagement will just be measured by a different metric.
Absolutely. I mean, already I've got a lot of brands talking to me going, let's talk about comments, or let's talk about how many saves you have, you know.
That's right.
We all need a metric to measure by in life. That is just it.
Mm.
It really
but
is.
But I guess those other metrics aren't so public.
True.
So maybe it does help people with not feeling too pressured to just post whatever they think will get the most likes. And maybe it will go back to just, you know, kind of like a fun creative space.
I want to just quickly move on because I have a new button on our Rodecaster.
Oh, okay.
Also, shout out to Rode for sorting us out with all this equipment. The reason this podcast sounds so good is because I've got a Rode microphone.
Yes. And
they gave it to me a year ago, which is why I feel really guilty because this thing has sat in our cupboard. They gave it to us a year ago and then we moved house and now we've set it up. So sorry to Matthew from Rode. We're finally up and running.
Yeah. It's so profesh. I love it. I feel like we're actually in a little radio station, except I've got a glass of wine and a robe on.
Coming back to the Rode thing, I preloaded this thing with some sounds,
mm-hmm,
as you know, last week. This week I've updated it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. And you're going to love this. Are you ready?
Ready.
3, 2. I'm majorly overhyping this, guys. 3, 2, 1.
Oh. Oh, is this for Halloween?
No, this is our conspiracy theme tune.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. It is Conspiracy of the Week with Kane of here.
This is not spooky at all. This is like fun conspiracies.
Well, I wanted to keep it fun and friendly, you know.
Boodoop, boodoop.
This reminds me of the soundtrack. Do you remember that game Plants vs. Zombies on the iPhone?
Yeah.
Brains.
Yeah.
It was so weird. Me and P used to play that in bed a long time ago.
Yeah.
And all I could hear was like on her side of the bed, brains.
Yeah.
And on my side of the bed, brains.
You're weirdly good at that.
I know. I loved it. I loved it. So,
okay,
yeah.
So we're doing like happy little dandy conspiracies.
Well, no, I've got, this is the problem. I've got 8 pages of conspiracy theories sent to me.
Did anyone send any questions that were like normal?
Oh, I didn't actually save those.
We wanted like genuine questions.
I know.
And everybody's just gone, please, more alien content.
The only thing that Grace, our manager, said to me today was, so what's going on with the conspiracy theories? I think she's dreading this segment in case I make myself look real stupid.
Have you actually researched any of these?
I've researched a lot. And to be perfectly honest, we're at like 45 or something minutes on this podcast. And what I want to talk about here, it's deep. I've done a lot of research in the last 2 days.
What's that? What's the topic?
Well, I don't want to say because this is big.
It's going to open a whole other can of worms.
Well, I mean, the one thing we did get a lot of questions about was, is Pierre in the Illuminati because of your tattoo?
Oh, yeah. Because there's like a kind of a triangle symbol on my back. And it's actually a tattoo that I got with my mum and sister. And it just kind of connects the three of us.
It's really, really nerdy, guys. Her mum and her sister have the same tattoo. It looks so funny when you see them walking on the street. And they all live in, her sister and her mum live in the Gold Coast, right? So if you don't know, that's a really hot part of Australia. They've always got this little strappy, I don't know what you call it. Like
singlets.
Exposed back outfits on, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And when you see them walking on the street, it's... They look like a PlayStation controller.
Do you know what? I honestly, it was the coolest thing though, because I was like, I think I was like 16 and a half, and I convinced my mum to let me get a tattoo because I'd be like, yeah, I'd be like, let's do matching. And she wouldn't let my sister do one until 2 years later because my sister's 2 years younger. Yeah. So Tara went 2 years later and got the exact same one.
Wow, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I must admit, it's kind of cool. I haven't got any tattoos and I've always wanted a tattoo, but I feel like I'm at that point.
I think you and I should get matching tattoos or complementary ones. Oh, yeah. If you guys have any ideas of what we should do.
No, no one suggests any tattoos. That is not happening.
We will get the funniest tattoo memes.
I don't want to do that. So going back to this conspiracy theory thing, right, there's a few things that I would like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about all of these, like once a week we'll do something. But the one that I would like to talk about next week,
right,
and I want to do it next week because I want to do a bit more research on this, is that humans right now are the 5th civilization on this planet, i.e. we've done this 5 times already.
Yes, and always destroyed ourselves.
Well, we don't know this. This is a theory, or some people say it's proven.
So are you saying that they're saying that basically we came from like primitive tribal, then like through the Renaissance, industrial age, all that sort of stuff, and then became very advanced civilizations and then crumbled and started again?
So the point where we destroyed ourselves. Now, what I don't know is how then from destroying ourselves or blowing ourselves up or whatever, we then got back to here.
But like, are you just talking about ancient civilizations? Like the ancient Greeks, the ancient Romans.
No. I'm talking
Atlantis.
About literally starting again. Like humanity is gone, Terminator 2 style. And then, I don't know, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million years later, civilization starts again somehow.
And what's this conspiracy theory based on?
Based on things like the pyramids were potentially built by humans that were actually way bigger than our physical structure.
Oh.
Yeah, like we can't build the pyramids again because they're too big. Mm. And even with the machinery we have right now and the electricity and everything, I mean, if we could do it, we would have done it, but we don't because those building blocks, they're massive and they're really complex. And and then when you look at...
It's crazy to me when I think about how they justify how they were built, like literally dragged up on a spiral outside, but like by hand.
I mean, it definitely makes a lot of sense if all the humans were 18 to 25 feet tall. That's
then,
what I'm saying.
You know, inside the pyramids, there's a bunch of like pathways and tombs and all that sort of stuff. So that is just crazy to me.
Well, that's where the theory crumbles. So this is why I want to do a bit more research on it, because the theory crumbles when you look at the size of the tombs and the people in the tombs, they're normal human size.
So is the theory that there was an sort of technologically savvy civilization, but they were just a lot bigger?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, well, that's one of the theories.
I've never heard of that.
There's so much craziness. And I don't know if like...
I've heard that people think that the pyramids were b- built with, by aliens.
I mean, I don't know, right? But ultimately, there's a lot of crazy stuff in the world.
Yeah.
I don't think it all, it's quite egocentric to think that all came from us. So look, there's a lot of things I actually want to research about this, and I didn't get the chance to do it this week. I didn't expect people to come with such strong, deep things. I thought it was all going to be like, have you researched Area 51 yet?
I need to have a look at this. I'll be honest, I haven't actually looked at the questions that came into Anchor. So next week, I'll make sure that I read through all of them and I have a little bit of research in my pocket. So
there was another one.
Shed some actual light other than just Kane and I's personal opinion.
There was another one, which is really, really interesting.
Mm.
Does or do governments make viruses to control the population?
Ooh.
That's deep. And I've got to be careful here because I don't want to say things that will offend anyone, but that sent me down a rabbit hole.
Or is it pharmaceutical companies who make them and then offer you the antidote?
I need to move one seat away because there is a sniper rifle with little red dots on her head right as we speak. The other one that came in heaps was that Avril Lavigne is a clone.
Oh yeah, I've actually seen that one. That she like died years ago and they just replaced her with someone very similar.
Didn't she just get a nose job and like look a bit different?
I'm not sure. I have no idea, like, obviously.
Surely she's not like that big of a deal to have to
She
replace.
Was a big deal back in the day.
She was never Justin Bieber big.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it was kind of that skater boy.
Yeah, one good song, maybe two. Like, definitely not worth cloning and replacing.
Yeah, probably not.
That seems like it's a very far-fetched thing. The other one, there's one more.
Right.
That I got the most questions of.
Okay.
Last week, I may have mentioned that I have my own alien interaction story.
Yes.
And that's going to be coming next week. Oh, time is up. And that's where we're going to end today's episode of Wine Time. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure you're subscribed and have hit that 5-star rating on this episode. Every little bit helps. So we really appreciate that. If you fancy keeping up with our antics outside of this podcast, you can always follow us on Instagram. The links are in this description. Or you can check out our YouTube channel where we post at least 2 videos a week. If you'd like to check out our website, which has heaps of posts, as well as all our photo and video presets, head over to caneandpia.com. That's www.caneandpia.com. Thanks so much for listening and we'll see you in the next one. We'll